Federal agencies need three critical ingredients in place for data to make a lasting impact on their mission. That's according to Steve Belts. He's senior consultant for guidance software and former assistant director of the Recovery Operations Center for the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board. And he is promoting the three-legged stool approach to federal agency data. Steve, it's terrific to have you on the program. Thank you for joining me today. What are the three legs of that stool? What are the three elements that people should be thinking about data?
Well, the three elements are basically good tools, good data, and good analysts. And I could break that down into more specific features of each of those components for you.
Yeah, let's take each one of those in turn. Let's start with the data. And when I think of good data, the first thing that comes to mind is hygiene, knowing that the data that I'm using is clean. But I imagine that's not the only part that you're thinking about.
Yeah, that's true. You do have to validate your data, but data comes in all sizes. As small as a DVD, as large as what the federal government might have in any particular data set. Now, some of that data is legacy data that has been changed so many times as far as its data source is concerned that it makes it hard to manage across the whole kinds of different data sets. So managing your data, making it readable and understandable so you can ask good questions of it, and understanding what is in the data as well is all components of a good data source.
The assumption was that when you started analyzing data at the RAT board or just looking at it to decide what you were going to do with it, that you were, because you were working on the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board, you were working on the Recovery Act, that you were starting from scratch. Was that the case, or were you looking at legacy data in some cases too?
Well, both, actually, yes. Because of the Investment Act, we got to start clean with our own data, so we were able to set up the data very easy to read and manage it. But as we got into this, our mandate was expanded to help all IGs with any federal investigation where the federal government was a victim and is suspected of losing some money in that scheme. So we ended up having access to a lot of different data sources. And again, we got very good at managing data. So part of our mandate was to go in and help them make their data manageable and readable so we could take a look at it.
Once I have confidence in the fact that I'm working with good data, which of the other two legs of the stool should I think about next, do you think, Steve?
Well, they all go hand in hand. That's part of the stool. You can't have one without the whole stool falling over, or miss one without the whole stool falling over. Good tools was something that we struggled with for over a long time. One of the nice things about being on the board was, and being brand new, is we got to do a lot of R&D on tools. And the tool companies, there's quite a few tool companies popping up that are making these kind of analysis tools, but we found very quickly that they did very good with their canned presentations, but once we released them on millions of records that we were analyzing, quite a few of them would choke. But having said that, there's a number of them out there that are actually doing a very good job. But one of the questions you have to ask yourself on the tools is are you doing reactive or proactive type approaches? Some tools only kind of have their niches and can only do one or the other, and very rarely both.
What's the difference where you decide you should be pursuing a tool that's proactive or reactive?
Well, in our case, we started off as proactive because we wanted to know who was getting the money before they got it, so we can do a good analysis of what they were going to be able to do with the money that we were giving out. But then any kind of proactive investigation usually turns into reactive because now the money's out there and gone. So they call that more of the pay and chase model. Mm-hmm. So it depends where you're at in your process. A lot of agencies want to do more of the trending and risk modeling and that kind of analysis, which means you have to be out in front. You have to also analyze all of your old data to see where you're going to be out in front. So it's kind of two different, again, niches and specialties within the data tools.
But it's a decision-making process, and you have to do an analysis of the analysis that you're going to do before you decide which tools are right for the job that you have.
Correct. Who's your customer? Mm-hmm. Are you working with agents that are already out there reacting to something that's the money's gone, or are you setting up a process where you want to, kind of stop the fraud before it happens, which is more of a proactive role?
So the third stool or third leg of the stool is good analysts. And are you talking only about humans, or are you also talking about the tool? I guess we've covered the tool, so we're left with the people, right?
Yeah, this I'm talking more about the people here. But again, the tools are getting very good at managing the data and letting the humans interact with the data. What we have here is a lot of agencies fall short on the analysis side of it because of the fact that they think they've got good tools and the good tools will go out and find the data. The problem is that software is not intuitive. You have to have these people that know the data and know the right questions to ask, even though the tools are very good at organizing it. So, so you need good analysts that could really dig and keep digging and draw the pictures from the data that they're looking at.
Steve Beltz of Guidance Software is former assistant director of the Recovery Operations Center at the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board. You talked about this topic at an event last month the IBM Center for the Business of Government hosted, and you talked about that concept of the analysts having to ask the right questions, and it struck me for a long time that that's been maybe the last mile for the federal government, is finding those people who are able to sit down and say, in this, we have all this data in the entire world. What do we really want to know? What do we need to know? And I wonder what the kind of thought process is that goes into maybe the brainstorming sessions or the whatever the meetings are, where one goes about deciding what the questions are I want to ask of the data that I have using the tools and the information.
Yeah, that's actually a kind of a two-part to lead up to your main question there is how do you find the people in the first place? I kind of gave up on finding people that really had the tool experience, and I was looking for more of the inquisitive sorts. So my interview process had very little to do with, like, asking ABC questions. It was a more of a conversation kind of thing to find out what their mindset was, as they like to, you know, they're good at putting puzzles together and those kind of questions that lead into their more of their personality side of it. But having said that, once you've got them on board, they come with all kinds of different backgrounds as far as what we've hired with banking, financial, law enforcement, legal backgrounds. And we have them all sitting in one room, basically. It's an open room where they can ask questions to each other. We also met weekly to discuss the current investigations and what else was coming down the pipe and what kind of data sources we were working with. So it kind of kept everybody in the loop. And again, individuals had specialties that they can help other individuals as well, or analysts.
And I don't mean to understate the importance of the screening process, but that idea of being a question asker, and then a question answerer really sounds like it's at the core of what you're looking for when you're trying to staff up.
Exactly. I give talks quite a bit on data analysis, and it can sound kind of exciting, but in reality, you're looking at data all day long. You're staring at a screen, and you really have to be one of these very patient people that can dig through a lot of data and know it is what you're looking at, and then know what question to ask of what you're looking at, so you can draw out of that data what you need.
Have we maybe in the federal space at least tried to make data analysis too much of a science when it sounds like it's a lot more of an art as you describe it?
Well, that's something that I've preached quite a bit, is the art side of it. There is quite a large science component to it because, again, the data has to be readable and has to be understandable, and there's the science side of it. But there really is quite a bit of an art to it. As an analyst, you can't come in and say there's a checklist of you have to go 1, 2, 3, 4 or A, B, C. Quite often, you're bouncing around from A to H to all the way to Z and then back again. There's no set process for any particular investigation.
Steve, the situation that we're in has been called a data revolution, and there are all kinds of hyperbolic names that we've attached to the evolution of data analysis in the federal government. Do you expect that analysis to continue, or do you think we're at a spot now where we can kind of take a breath and say, okay, we've established best practices, we are where we are, and we're probably going to sit here for a while, so let's get really good at applying these best practices and using the data that we have, analyzing it, and making it work for us?
I think we're starting to understand. We've got a foundation, but I think we're at the same time, we're still at the very beginning of true data analysis. We're just starting right now. I mean, every day in the paper, you're reading about both commercial and law enforcement dealing with large data sets and how to deal with it. And so it's kind of still in the revolutionary state, at least from my view of it.